So I'm not sure if you got to look up a little bit about my blog, but I'm actually a full-time missionary with CRU, the high school ministry. I'm not sure if you heard of Campus Crusade for Christ.
Absolutely.
But, my husband and I are part of that. And so we do the high school ministry here in New York City. So this is kind of like my side project, my blog, but I like to write about God and relationships and pop culture. And I just feel like there's a few Christian artists who kind of navigate that line well of like not being too in the Christian box. So that's kind of why I wanted to approach you.
And thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you. So I know you're really big on, the whole purity discussion, especially since you saved your first kiss for your husband, which is so exciting. My husband was my first kiss. My husband was my first kiss too, but yeah, he was my one and only kiss. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So it's so exciting to hear other stories, and we're not the only ones. So the question I have about that topic is just what's missing from the conversation in like the Christian world. It's all about dress modestly. It's a lot of don'ts, but what is like missing in terms of like what's there to look forward to, like positive things?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh, that's a great question, Marliette, because I do get the question a lot from people about like, oh, what are your thoughts on purity? And to be honest, like, I don't feel like it's right or fair to even talk about purity unless you first cover the grounds of grace. I personally have kind of been in the situation where it's like you're so focused on remaining quote-unquote pure that you, when you do mess up, and you will because we're not perfect, you just fall into this guilt and shame, and that somehow pushes you further and further from God and His graces, and you feel like you're not good enough. You feel like you've set the standard so high that when you fall far. So personally, I feel like what's more important than talking about purity in relationships is talking about God's grace and the fact that it doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter how many rules we create or how many standards we have, God's grace is so much bigger than all of that. He's not impressed by much that we can do as long as we are holding ourselves to these standards for the sake of honoring Him and not for the sake of finding any sort of worth or value in them, then I think it's healthy. Where I started feeling like I was like, okay, maybe not looking at the whole purity thing correctly was when my husband and I were still dating at the time. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. I found my value in my purity. Like I was like, you know what, like, he were to kiss me or if he were to go too far or we were to go too far together, that I would be less valuable. That's not the case. That's not the truth. Like, I'm valuable because of the fact that God made me, and there's nothing I can do, and there's nothing that I can't do that will cause me to be any more important in God's eyes. So I think when I started to look at it that way, I realized, you know what, I want to save this first kiss with Him because I feel like, one, it's something that God is calling us to do, and I feel like He'll give us the strength to do it. And I don't think that it's going to be terrible if we do kiss, but I do feel like this is something that God wants to be part of our story. And now on the sort of back end of things, I'm looking back and I'm realizing, wow, I think God wanted us to do that because He wanted us to be able to help people. Like, if God has called you to specific standards, He can and will give you the strength to uphold them.
So then my next question is kind of has to do with modesty, which is somewhat related, but I feel like the discussion is similar in terms of like it's so much rules based and not like people don't know the core of the issue. You know what I'm saying? So I remember one of your Instagram pictures was like, half makeup face or whatever, and something about, something about like, it's not bad to value. It's like art, makeup is like art. So what do you have to say to Christians or people who just, they get too far on the rules part of like, oh, you can't wear any makeup because that's sinful. That's like the world or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost, there's not enough breath in our lungs and there's not enough time in our lives for us to be so focused on criticizing other people's clothing and makeup and hair. Like, there are so many other things that I think God values as far as conversations go. I think He loves when our heart is to serve other people and our heart is to love on other people. And gosh, there are so many people in other countries who need our prayers and our support and our understanding. Mm-hmm. And even in our own country, in our own state, I think if we lead with love, then the critical aspect of it becomes more relevant. And I think as long as we're criticizing within context, then we can have the conversations. Because to be honest, and you would understand this being a New York lady, if I wear a two-piece bikini underneath a sheer white sundress in California and I wear that to school, it's no big deal. And it's not an issue whatsoever. However, if I wear a bikini underneath a white sheer sundress in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where I live now, I'm going to get some looks. I'm going to get some people turning their heads. So I think context, cultural context is very, very important. At the same time, though, when it comes to clothing and how we dress, like knowing our surroundings is important. And I love this conversation because people are shocked at the differences from state to state. I can honestly say growing up in Southern California, my brother, who is 20 years old, is not fazed when he sees a girl in a bikini because it's everywhere. Yeah. It's at school. It's at the beach. It's not a huge deal. But a 20-year-old boy here in Nashville, Tennessee, if he saw a girl in a bikini, would be like, oh, that's interesting. I've not seen that before, you know, kind of thing. So
it is
important, I think, to keep our brothers in mind wherever we are and in how we dress and what we're wearing. Ultimately, I think that the at the heart of the whole thing is, again, God's grace. And coming back to that and being like, you know what, this is in the context of life and the importance of loving one another. I think there's a certain freedom that we have to dress and wear makeup and buy shoes and fun things that, I love that there's that freedom there. I really do believe there is.
Yeah, creativity and God created beauty, you know.
Yes.
I've watched a couple of your interviews about talking about how you had to give up your dream of being a lawyer. So can you just, like, talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad is a judge in Los Angeles. I think just because I grew up with that and I had so many great conversations with him in high school and I had a few law classes in high school that I really enjoyed. Maybe it was part of me was wanting to follow in my daddy's footsteps, but I got accepted into a law program in high school where it was only 50 students from around the country, got to go to this program through UCLA Law School. In going through that whole thing, and it was interesting because it was my junior year, like kind of the end of my junior year, and I was pretty set on what I wanted to do and study pre-law and everything. Mm-hmm. I went to this program and I was just like, wait, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
This is cutthroat, I mean, for sure, but I think more than that, I really missed the freedom and the creativity of music within that context. I had kind of gone through a season where I was like, maybe I can do law and music, and maybe I can marry the two and study, like, contract law or whatever, but I ended up, when I was at the end of my senior year, having the opportunity to come to Nashville and record demos and work with a producer and meet a few people from a few labels. And so I was kind of at a crossroads where it was like, okay, either I go to school, I accept this scholarship that I've worked my whole life towards, I do that route, or I jump into the absolute dark and not knowing what is going to happen, and I come to Nashville. And at the moment in time, and I think for a lot of teenagers or 17, 18-year-olds where they're looking at college, it's the biggest decision that you'll make at that point in time. And for me, it was the hardest decision that I had ever made up until that point in declining a scholarship, and it was the biggest faith move I ever made. And so my prayers sounded a lot like bargaining, like I was just like, God, you know that I do not want to go to Nashville and jump into this without knowing what's going to happen. You know how much I want to go to school and reap the benefit of my hard work in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, please make a miracle happen and make it so clear so that I will know without a shadow of a doubt that this is what you want me to do. And He did. He answered our prayers so specifically and so clearly that it would have been a sin to go forward with school at that time. So it was a fun experience at the time.
So what was that miracle specifically like?
Basically, every label that we met with wanted to sign me, which is kind of unheard of for Nashville, I suppose, yeah. Particularly for a young girl who's never recorded a song in her life and didn't mm-hmm. even know what Twitter was. so that was one thing. And then through scriptures, through meditation, through prayer, my family and my management company and I, we were all on the same page. We all felt awesome. Like we were hearing one voice together, and that was wonderful. And yeah, it honestly, I think it was even confirmed a few years later when I got a scholarship to go to an online school to Grand Canyon University as I travel.
So are you done with school now?
Not quite. I am technically a sophomore at Grand Canyon University.
Gotcha.
I'm taking like one class at a time.
Gotcha.
It's kind of a lot to do with being a musician at the same time. So trying to balance the two, but I might be old and gray by the time I graduate, to be honest.
Fine. So do you see yourself ever collaborating with like quote unquote a secular artist? I don't really like using that term, but
yeah.
Someone who's not in Christian world, like who would your dream artist be?
Stevie Wonder, no question.
Who are your other musical influences?
As far as musicality is concerned, I am so inspired by Florence and the Machine. I love her big orchestral cinematic sound. Stevie Wonder is somebody that I've been listening to from the time I was a little girl, so I think he's just kind of in my blood. Globally, I think I first heard of an artist named Kimbra when I moved to Nashville when I was 17, and she's a New Zealand singer, and she's just got this unique, soulful, gospel-sounding voice that I absolutely love.
Okay, so my other question is, ministry, how have you seen your career or ministry multiply with marriage? Because to me, that was a big thing for me. Like, probably would have been a feminist if I wasn't a Christian. Like, I was
oh my
women.
Gosh, yes!
Women career,
you
could do everything. Like, I wanted to be an engineer, actually.
Yes.
So anyways, how have you seen like your marriage enhancing your ministry, your career, things like that? Because I definitely was one that was going to push that away and like just do my own thing, but God
yes.
me otherwise.
Oh my gosh, can we just start our own like Christian feminist group? Because
sounds
I think
good.
That would work.
Original feminists really were good. It's just, they're taking it too far.
That's
but,
true. That's agreed. So. Agreed. Yeah, I with my all fierce female band,
that's true,
we
yep.
probably put on a few events together. No, I agree. I was all about, like, I thought I would be married when I was probably 30
yeah.
or 20.
Yeah.
that was probably one thing. But I really struggled with the thought of being able to relate to people. That was my biggest fear. My biggest fear was that I would get married and then all of a sudden I would forget what it's like to be single and to be dating. Mm. And I would have conversations with girls who were not married yet and I wouldn't be able to understand or sympathize. And they would see me as this married girl who doesn't know what it's like
yeah.
to have that struggle. Like that was honestly my biggest fear, because my biggest dream and my biggest hope is to connect with my fans, with my listeners, and to be on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
But what I realized was that, first of all, that was a completely unreasonable fear, and
yeah.
that God actually used marriage for me to have a bigger perspective on the concept of dating and purity
and
XYZ. So after Joel and I got married, it was almost the fruition of waiting. And what I mean by
wow,
that
that's
is
good.
My first album, I had this song called Haven't Even Kissed, and
mm-hmm.
I would sing it, and I would talk about how, you know, I really want to save my first kiss until my wedding day, and that's fine and dandy, and that's great, but it wasn't until I was married
mm-hmm.
that I could stand on a stage and say with full confidence, you guys, God called me to save my first kiss for my wedding day, and he gave me the strength to do it. And I'm so glad that I did, because I think God has a very specific standard that he wants for each one of us to have, and it's catered to our unique personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that waiting to have your first kiss is for everybody. It just means
mm-hmm.
that there is something very specific that he has for us. And if we pray and we ask him,
to show us what that is, he will. And if we follow that through, he's got an amazing way of showing us throughout the years of being married, this is why I had you wait. This is why. And so it's just great to be able to be on the other side of things and be like, man, I know the frustration of waiting. I know the frustration of feeling like there's no guy that's good enough. My standards are too high. Nobody exists who will be in line with all of the hopes and dreams that I have when it comes to a relationship. And I just want to give up. Like, I know all of those feelings, but I also know what it's like to reap the reward of that patience. And it is sweet. It is wonderful. And I want everybody to experience it.
Okay. So lighthearted question. What are your simple pleasures in life?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I might have some people be upset at me for saying this. but there's a TV show on AMC called Hell on Wheels, and it is about the post-Civil War era and building a railroad across America. And let me just tell you, when Joel and I come home after a long weekend and a lot of touring, our favorite thing is to sit on our couch, turn on our TV, watch 3 episodes back-to-back of Hell on Wheels, and I give him facials. That's like my thing. Like,
funny.
I love giving him facials. I love doing extractions. Yeah. Like, I'm a wannabe esthetician. Literally walking in my TV room right now as we talk, and like, this is our favorite spot to be. It's just
that's
on this couch talking facials, Hell on Wheels.
That's awesome.
Yes. Oh yeah. I should say a disclaimer. I don't think you should watch Hell on Wheels if you have a weak stomach or if you are under the age of probably like 18.
Oh my goodness. So funny. Okay, so what are like 2 or 3 ways that me and my readers can be praying for you?
Oh, wow. That's so sweet. Thank you. I think the biggest thing for me is just that I would stay connected to God and always hear his voice. It doesn't matter whether you're doing music or marketing or running a company or a business, or whether it's Christian music or secular music, it doesn't matter what you're doing. There's always so much noise around us, so many voices speaking into our lives, and it can be very easy to lose our ear for God's voice because he just whispers to us. He doesn't yell at us like everybody else does. And so my hope is that I can always stay connected and stay in tune with his voice and hear what he wants me to say and do what he wants me to do. And as long as I do that, then I feel like I'm going to be useful and I'm going to be, you know, following a plan that's better than anything I could come up with.
Anything else to pray for?
Maybe pray that the Lord would miraculously bless me with some cooking skills so I can, like, be a better wife.
Does he ask that, or is that just your expectation?
No, he does not ask. He has, like, 0 expectations, which makes
fun.
It really hard because then I don't have motivation to, like, actually learn how to cook anything.
Oh, man. Just start with, like, 1 simple dish.
Oh, you know what I made the other day? You'd be proud of me. I made Mexican nacho libre corn.
That's
if anybody
good.
Knows what that is.
No,
it's, like,
no idea what
corn.
That is.
With, like, mayonnaise and,
like,
queso
like
fresco,
for the corn.
Like, cayenne pepper.
Sounds good. You
can
grill.
I was like, here, I made you this corn for dinner. Like, that's it? I mean, okay.
Burgers, man. That's easy. Grill.
Yes. I'll try that.
Yeah. Well, I'll be praying for that then. Stay off of Pinterest, though, if you don't want to get intimidated by cooking. I actually enjoy cooking, but I stay off there because I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Fun.
This is crazy.
Hey, do you mind if I say a quick prayer before we hang up
here? Sure. That'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Lord God, we come before you, Father. You're such a good God. You're such a gracious God. You see us in all of our imperfections and all of our fears and worries. And Lord, you love us anyways. Thank you for that freedom. And it is because of that freedom that we want to follow faithfully in your way for us, Lord. And we want to be motivated by that and by no obligation and no pressure of the church or of the world, Lord God. We want to follow you because that is our true heart's desire, to know you for who you are. And right now I just pray for Marliette, Lord God. First of all, I want to thank you for her commitment to inspiring young people to follow after you, Lord God. And it is our generation, Father, who's going to shape and pave the way for the people after us, Lord.
And so I ask that you would light a fire underneath us, Lord God, and not be about ourselves, our lives, our names, putting ourselves out there and trying to make us more famous, Lord God, but may it be about you making your love and your grace and your story famous, Lord. We want that to change lives. We want our faith to be so real. And I pray for the city of New York, Lord God, that you would do a change, that you would just create a stirring, like an underground movement, Lord, of people who are so passionate for you and who are real and who are current and who understand what it means to be living in a city that is producing so much evil. Same as L.A., Lord God, where I grew up, Lord God, I pray for my hometown, for my city, Lord God, that you would start to shift the ground, Lord God, that you would take over our cities, Lord, and that your name would go forward and that the enemy would no longer have reign in such influential parts of the world, Lord God, that your voice would be going out instead of his agenda, Father. And we pray for our husbands. Lord, give them grace and patience for us. And I pray, God, that you would just bless the rest of this day, that you would make it something where we can be useful today, that we would produce something that is valuable in your eyes, whether that be through work, through email, through creativity, through writing, or through simply hanging out with our friends, kind of refueling in that way as well, Lord God. So thank you for this time. Thank you for Marlia. It's in your son's name that we believe these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're ever in New York, let me know.
Girl, you right, know Amen. I will.
Yeah.
All the time. I was literally
Are you
there
serious?
For, yeah, I went to Madison Square Garden last weekend
That's
for
awesome.
The U2 concert, and it was amazing.
That's great.
So, yeah, I will stay here
yeah.
next time, and I will
and then,
pick you up next time.
Sounds
other.
Good. And then maybe you could, like, see our ministry a little bit, or if, you know, if it works
I
out,
doing
a Bible
that.
Study or something.
Yes.
No,
I would
that would
absolutely
be amazing.
Love that.
Yeah, I saw you Ren Collective concert in Brooklyn. I forget when that was.
Oh, my gosh,
ago.
That was so much
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't even know
yes.
that venue existed, and I live in Brooklyn. So
no
crazy.
Way!
Yeah, I'm like, oh, what is this venue? It's tiny, but I love tiny venues. They're the best.
Wasn't it so intimate?
Show.
It was so rad. That was one of my favorite shows.
Hopefully see you soon.
Agreed.
Okay.
All right, Marlia.
Well, have a good
have
day.
A
Thanks for
day.
Praying. That was awesome.
Absolutely.
That was such a blessing.
Bye.
God bless.